So God has appeared to Moses at the burning bush, and he's told him to go back to Egypt, where he'd run away from 40 years ago, in order to bring God's people out. But Moses, like us, he doesn't really feel that he can do that. Just like we might feel that we can't do everything God wants us to do. But God will strengthen us if we're willing for that. So then, God gives him a sign. Two signs. Stretch out your hand and take your rod. Throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and Moses ran away from it. And God said to Moses, stretch out your hand and take it by the tail. He stretched out his hand and took hold of it, and it became a rod in his hand. He had stretched out his hand really nervously to pick a snake up by its tail, but he did, and it just became a rod. God said, this is so that they may believe that Yahweh, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. And then God said to him, now put your hand inside your jacket. He put his hand inside his jacket. When he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. God said, put your hand inside your jacket again. He put his hand inside his jacket again. When he took it out, behold, his hand had turned back whole, just like his other flesh. God said, it will happen that if they will neither believe you nor listen to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And if they will not even these two signs believe, nor listen to your voice, then you shall take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take out of the river will become blood. Then Moses said to God, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of a stammering tongue. So maybe he thought, who am I? I stutter. Can't speak very nicely. Who am I to go and talk to Pharaoh and talk to the leaders of the Israelites? But you see, that's exactly who God will call. He will call someone who's got a stutter in order to be his great speaker. And that just shows how God works through human weakness. He loves doing this. That's why he works with little people. Remember the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And the little boy who saved Paul's life that time by going and telling the centurion that there were men who'd made a big oath to kill Paul. So God said to Moses, who made man's mouth? Or who makes one mute that is unable to speak, or deaf, or to see, or to be blind? Isn't it I, Yahweh? So all that happens, whether it's good or bad, whether it's deafness or being able to hear, being able to speak or not being able to speak, this all comes from God. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But then Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else. Now the anger of God was kindled against Moses, and he said, what about Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. So God gave Moses lots of different options, but he didn't want to do it. But even then, he still makes a way. God said, I know that he can speak well, and behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. He will be your spokesman to the people. That is, he'll be the one who does the talking. And he will be like a mouth for you, and you will be to him like God. You shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Now, as it happened, in the end, although Aaron did start off doing the talking, in the end, Moses did a lot of the talking. So it just shows that God will make all sorts of ways to try to work with people. And we also should be patient with people. So Moses returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, that's the father of his wife, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brothers in Egypt and see whether they're still alive. Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. God said to Moses and Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. That's exactly what was later to be said to Joseph and Mary, that it was safe for them to return from Egypt to Israel. So you see how things repeat over the centuries. And it's the same God who's working in the same sort of style. Moses took his wife and his sons and put them on a donkey. And he returned to the land of Egypt. That's just like Joseph did with Mary and Jesus. Put them on a donkey. Moses took God's rod in his hand. God said to Moses, when you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I put in your hand, but I will harden his heart and he will not let the people go. Now that's the worst thing. When God hardens someone's heart, and we must be soft and sensitive. Whatever God says in the Bible, we must try to do and be like that. Because if we harden our heart and say, nope, I will just be how I want to be, God can make your heart even more hard, and then you end up like Pharaoh. That's why it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and it also says that God hardened his heart. So you end up being how you really want to be. And God said, you shall tell Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I have said to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. That is, instead of serving Pharaoh. Be God's slaves, not the slaves of Pharaoh. And you've refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. It happened on the way at a lodging place, like a kind of hotel, that Yahweh met Moses and wanted to kill him. Probably it means an angel that carried the name of God.
Why?
Let's read on. Then Zipporah, that's Moses' wife, took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son. A flint is a sharp stone. And she cut off the foreskin, that's that bit of skin, over a little boy's boy bit, and she threw it at his feet, and she said, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. So God left Moses alone. So that shows that Moses had not circumcised his children, even though that was the covenant given to Abraham. But it seems in those 40 years, while he lived in the wilderness, he hadn't done that. Then God said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him on God's mountain and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of Yahweh with which he had sent him and all the signs which he had been instructed to do. So Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. The people believed, and when they heard that God had visited the children of Israel and that he had seen their afflictions, they bowed their heads and worshipped. So, you see, that's a trouble with marrying someone who doesn't believe, like Moses married Zipporah. And her father, her daddy, was a priest of some pagan religion.
No, but did he want to marry Zipporah?
Well, I guess he didn't have to marry her. He met her by the well, and he decided to marry her. I suppose he thought, well, how else am I going to live? If I can't live in Egypt, I'd better live here. And this man who owns the sheep has said I can marry his daughter and look after his flocks, so that's what I better do. So it just shows that...
No, but she circumcised.
Well, she did it because she realized that that's why the angel was angry with Moses. And I think also because Moses kept saying, no, I can't do it, no, I'm not any good, no, find someone else. And it says God was angry with him because of that. So although Moses goes on to spend the next 40 years leading God's people and ends up one of the greatest of God's servants, there were points when he was so weak when God nearly killed him. And it just shows that all of us out of weakness can be made strong, if that indeed is what we want. So the fact we are weak, we shouldn't just think, oh yeah, well I don't care. We should realize that we shouldn't be like that, but God will all the same work with us as he did with Moses.